Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Okay, everyone, I'm excited. Welcome back. I am talking with today Brent Bruning. I saw Brent on a fellow friend's podcast as well with Elena and Alejandro, and I find his work so fascinating, and I know you will too. So pull up a chair and enjoy this episode. So welcome, Brent. Tell us what you do, and kind of give people a summary of what it is you do.
So I help people that are struggling with clarity and who are struggling also with their energy, personal energy, and helping them to break through to a new level performance. And I do it through the hands, which is crazy because you don't expect that in the sentence. But what I am is I'm a hand analyst. I'm not a palm reader. I'm a hand analyst, and I'm working from research that's been since the 1960s that your hands show patterning of the way that you live your life. And why that is, and I'll go into depth in this, at this interview, and later we'll go into exactly how every part of the hand maps to different regions of your experience, your behavior. But the big kahuna message here is that your life, the way that you're living it, is being broadcast live through your nervous system. Every experience, every moment, every experience is being routed wholesale through your nervous system. So why the hands? It's the most sensory part. If you think about what you do consciously with everything you do consciously, ultimately that is creating new patterns that have become unconscious pattern, but it starts off conscious. And that consciousness is being routed through very particular areas of your nervous system, particularly around your face and your lips, and most importantly, your hands. So if you look at the map of the sensory cortex, which is responsible for your reality, and I'm not going to bore you with science too much here, all right? But if you just get that you have a way of processing your reality, and that reality is being broadcast through your eyes, your lips, and your hands. If you map that system out per square millimeter and you expand it outward, you'd find that your eyes are like saucers. Your lips would be like the size of a basketball, but your hands would be the size of beach umbrellas. They're massive, which means that your sensory cortex is basically your hands. And why that is just, I don't know, think about how much you're using your hands all day, how much consciously you are using your fingers and your hands. And it's not a big leap to understand that, therefore, if you're going to study the patterns of what you do in your conscious patterns, then look in the place where you're moving things consciously the most, which is in your hands and your fingers. So it's a map. It's not like a bunch of random wires. It's a nervous system. So there are actually parts of the system when you are experiencing these masculine moments of like closing a sale and solving a problem and achieving a result. And you can see that through the directing index finger and the thumb, you know, this area that you are constantly manipulating things and holding the mouse, holding your phone. But that's not just the literal interpretation. Literally, you would say that your personality is formed through these different expressions. And given that your personality happens to be what is a combination of all the moods that you have been in over a lifetime that has become habit, what you can literally say is that the nervous system is, or your personality and all your habits are being reflected in your hand. And so it, the best way that you might understand is that if you just look at different breeds of dogs, you know, you look at a poodle versus a Chihuahua versus a Great Dane, they're still dogs, but they're just completely different species, it seems, right? They have different behaviors. Well, human beings are exactly the same. And you can organize them by nervous system, literally. And you can see these people are not motivated. These people are blocked in the same way. These people have money issues. These people have massive, are completely unconscious when it comes to setting boundaries, and on and on. So why you should need to know this? I'm going to show you in this podcast that it's not something for you to believe, right? This is now a fact. Everything I'm showing you is an illustrated guide based on a book of that I just basically collated the research off of, that's working with about 40 years of hand research. And why this is important is because if you can see your habits in your hand, and you can see the areas that you're unconscious in also showing up there, and you can visualize this as a complete map, and I can walk you through that map, I can literally show you what will turn you on without any drugs, without coffee, without a boost of anything external. This is your natural way of having happiness. And when you turn these systems on, you really break through. And if you think about, you know, those times in your life where you've had such a breakthrough and you've really like achieved like so much in the day, and it was really fulfilling, and you just look back at that day and you go, wow, that was an incredible day. It was so filled with all these new experiences and connection. Well, I can tell you that story that you're writing there, whether it's fulfilling or whether it's not, is predictable by the hand. And if you understand the formula, and I give you the formula of what would turn you on in this area, then you're going to realize this is, you might have been running on diesel, you should have been working on this like unleaded, right? And some people, because of the conditioning that they went through to the family, are still operating on about 50% of their potential. And when I can show you, go here, then I'm not joking. I've had people kick antidepressants for 3 years, and then they kick it with literally when days afterwards, days. And that's a pretty big statement, considering that we're talking about medical reversals of some symptoms, including anything inflammatory. So I can see I'm already talking and kind of getting captivated by my own story here. So, but to just close it, we'll be using Jen as our exhibit A. We'll look at her hands. If you know her and you love her and you see her talents, just recognize that. Try to visualize what that might mean for you. As I'll try to go off the rails a little bit, so you can, in case you have certain different heart lines or other fingers, so that you can see what your power is. And once you get it, then you can anchor it, and then you're going to be on rails.
Wow. This is so fascinating. That's just the word I have for you is fascinating. And the thing I love so much about listening to you talk is I can tell how excited you are and how passionate you are about your work. And it makes me excited just listening to you. You're so interesting to listen to. Mm-hmm. To me, the biggest thing that just makes so much sense when it comes to, you know, how can you tell all this stuff by your hand? But I'm often telling my clients, and we talk all the time about how, you know, when we uncover things in coaching, it, and then they go, well, what do I do about it? Right?
Yeah.
Most of most of growth is really just connecting those dots and understanding. So when you say that, you know, within days, someone all of a sudden can shift, that is so beautiful to me. And I believe it, because most of the time it's just understanding these different things that you've never seen before. And I feel like that's what you're doing here by your hand analysis and your, all of your studies with the hand, is you're helping people connect those dots about themselves and their passions and their purpose and all of those awesome things. And then they have power. It's like empowering them.
Yeah. And as a coach, you know, then I always have to be careful about this too, because when I am in delivering information and wisdom that is essentially about them and their life pattern, and how they live. And once you make the unconscious conscious, right, you can then make this big breakthrough in your life, right? Because you see your whole life pattern, you see the matrix, right? And then you realize, oh my God, it's not them, it's actually me, right? And when you see ownership of that, that all the problems and how they occur in the actors in your Shakespearean play actually are predicted in your hands, like you might, it's like you, I look at somebody's fingerprints and there's a combination that I see that just, it begs to have narcissists in their life, right? But those fingerprints were formed at 7 weeks. So as a fetus, right? So it's like 7 weeks and you get the narcissist, right? That's just not fair, right? But what happens is that every experience just seems to fit like a glove, and you are always just trying to get those things that are meaningful for you. And they, it's like you'll find the right person in the crowd that just match your wound. And as a coach, that I'm basically in a more of a transformational coach, I'm trying to push people into a life they love with a purpose of making them super, super happy. Yeah. And I have to be instructional, but as you know, as a coach, the best insights that the customer has, or client or friend, is when they can see it themselves. So it's a real art, you know, for me to just be quiet and allow them to just to also realize the same insights about that they have in their own life, by giving them the space after some point, after I've delivered a bomb of information on them, that they also process that. And then they come with, okay, so is this what you mean? I'm like, yes, go. So thinking about the shift, right? I'm just going right into the shift, because I think this is important, because the people that are coming to me are not coming to get their hands read. All right. Just make clear, right? It's true. I'm a complete master hand analyst. I have 20,000 hands on my computer, and I have researched nothing but hands. I've been trained by a man who has studied 70,000 hands. I'm certified as a hand analyst from the International Institute of Hand Analysis. So there's a heavy background of what I'm working off of. You know, published a book after 12 years of research called The Power in Your Hands, which is, it's kind of meant to be a coffee table book, but it turned into something mailable. So it explains the theory, and the idea of the book and the idea of my work is that I don't want you to believe a single thing I have to say. I want you to see it. And the way that I do that is I use my book all the time so that you can see the insights of who you are. And the first half of the book, I'm not trying to sell the book, but you can buy the book. But if you, the first half of the book is just to show you there is a technology to who you are. And the second half of the book is to show you and illustrate that technology by giving somebody, for example, a multimillionaire, and putting that handprint in front of somebody who understands the system like me, who's been certified, and they don't know anything about who I've been to, whether it's been a famous person or a not so famous person, right? And I give them only the handprint, and they have to guess who it is. So I'm talking everybody from a clown to Eminem to Ben Stiller to the theological advisor to the Pope to the richest man in Switzerland, where I am based. And they are able to guess that this guy is a very wealthy man. And they're able to guess that somebody's a film director. And I always ask the same questions, and which is going to blow your mind. The number one question I ask is, what is the challenge that you've had your whole life? And what has, no matter what relationship, country you move into, it's the same dumb story that you seem to face all the time. And that's in your fingerprints. Okay, so the people that are coming to me are not coming just because they find this fascinating. It's because they've had a friend shift. And what that means is that they've had somebody that they know that became a different person. It seems like they had a whole new lease on life. They started living a whole new chapter. And they find out that this crazy hand reader from Switzerland showed them their life pattern and how to break through that pattern. And out of that, you see them living a whole new life, like new relationships or transit, like really fast through something that would should normally take about 2 years. They do in a month. So those people, most of my clients are not coming from the fact that they just happened to Google hand reader. They found somebody who popped, right? And so I got some pictures I'll show you so you don't have to like imagine, right? So here's a guy who was struggling with some age and being 65 and his energy, right? And then I show him the map of how he should function and he's turned on. He's eating the same stuff, right? And most of the people that I are really attracted to this are the ones that are at age 40 and older, because they're starting to realize that they don't have the same energy that they had when they were 30s, right? But they still have the same goals or the same performance. And so, you know, this is a very wealthy woman down in South Africa. She's like buying real estate. And she's working in kind of renewable energy projects, and she's brokering those deals. The woman on the left there is was really struggling, but the woman on the right was like, I'm now connected to my relationships and love and all of that stuff. Now, this is not accomplished in a hand analysis. I have to show you your life pattern for 2 hours. And then your mind is going to be blown. Right? It's going to be so much information. That's why we have to record it. And you got to listen to it again. But then when you listen to it, already the transformation starts. It's like it gets in your system. It's wisdom. It's not just knowledge. It has a way of reaching you at the time you need it. And when it does, then you start to realize, oh my God, I've been doing it wrong, right? I've been living in this place called the shadow. And once I give you that language of what the shadow is, it's a repressed part that makes you live a fixed, ordinary life. That's a drag. It's a real drag to be living in a repetitive, it's almost like repetitive stress disorder. You're living with the same problems over and over. And if I tell you, release these problems, like this week, stop, get out of there and move out, then what happens is, they realize that the problem in itself and the way that it was they were relating to life was causing an inflammation response daily. And inflammation is a leading cause of life being a drag, of suffering, of ultimately disease, but mainly exhaustion and burnout. So if you want to have a really high performance, a sense of joy in your life, then a lot of this work is just to let the baggage out and let it go. So these people, I didn't change, for example, this guy's wife. He's trapped, clearly, look at him. But now he's not, and this is the next day, right? So what happened there, right? I didn't change her mom that she has to take care of, and nor did I change her relationship or her father that was abusive or the spiritual organization she's been slaving away at. But what I do is I show you the pattern that Everything that you see in everybody else is actually you. And when you can get, it's a crazy idea. I mean, we're talking real spiritual nonsense going into that quantum level. But if I can show you that, and I can show you how much ownership you can have over this, this starts to create a massive breakthrough. Because you, then you can go, you mean my boss, or my, in his, this case, this guy's kids, this guy was suicidal. And he's like, well, my kids drive me crazy. They drive me crazy. And now they don't. So what did I do there? What I did is I showed him that they are going to continue driving you crazy until you shift this part of who you are. And when you do, then you break through. And at that point, he gets ownership and is responsible for his own vision and to create a vision that is empowering with him and his kids, right? Which is crazy talk. I mean, it seems like very easy. Why didn't you just do that to begin with, right? Why doesn't he just create a empowering vision of his life? Because the reason why, and this is classic life coaching 101, that there's a lot of coaches out there like, just create a vision board and a big stack of cash and match the energy and experience and you will make that money. Now, I disagree respectfully. If you're doing that, great. But I can tell you that there's a stronger approach out there. That while you're doing that, you may be also reaffirming a negative belief that is in a block that's in the way of that. Like, I have to get over this, and now I am going to make this big stack of cash. But while you're doing that, you still have to go back to a life that is reminding you really daily, every moment, that it doesn't match. And that's real disheartening. And that you suffer, you're putting yourself down in a disappointment when you do that over and over. You have to face reality. And so when I can show you how that reality is in your hand and the complete picture, not the not 3 years of psychotherapy picture that is kind of using language, but I'm going into a visceral level of what, where it's actually stored, then you can see how somebody who knew her doctors more than a relationship, that woman hadn't been hugged for 5 years, right? And she had two guys dating her on Instagram, you know, trying to contact her for a date after that. She loved, overjoyed. So back pain and all of that. So now I'm going to explain the architecture of how this is accomplished. And I think that you have some people that are very successful women listening right now. And I can say at least 80% of my clients are women, which is, I think everyone should get this. And you don't have to be in the self-help industry to be able to take advantage of this. And because most of the people that are really taking this process that I'm taking people through are people that are using this to make more money, crazy enough. Why would you go to a hand reader? The last person that that I coached this last month was working in a wine consortium in Italy, building a wine consortium. We're talking, he's a managing director and he wants to use the map that's shown in his hand and the blockages that he has to break through so that he can have the energy to transition from his job and really move into an entrepreneur job. And it's scary to do that, right? So I'm going to show you all the fears that why you would stop and why you wouldn't do that. You'll sabotage yourself way before if you're not ready for that type of life transition. Okay, so like I said, the people that are coming because they want to make a shift or they're stuck in their life about a problem and they're realizing they're in a pattern. Good. Now you see it. Now at least you can accept you've got a pattern. Now I can tell you that pattern, if it's more than 6 months, is in your hand. It's in your consciousness. So this, just a little bit of background science, so I have to teach you hand analysis in order for you to get what I need you to understand about how transformation works. So I'm going to give you a map. Before I go into that, because I can see I'm going to need a breath there. Jen, why don't you ask me, you know, like, how is this showing up for you? Do you have any questions about what I've already said? Or
yes, of course, I have questions.
Okay,
I'm very
let's
curious.
Stop for a second and check in
so,
with you.
So what I wonder is, so if this is, you know, created at 7 weeks, I believe you said 7 weeks within the womb, right? Your fingerprints.
Yeah.
Isn't that your destiny? Isn't that how it's supposed to be? Can you change it? I mean, I know you can change it because you're telling me that people are shifting and changing.
Yeah.
But when you were talking, which I want to, you were saying that as far as the narcissist, and I believe what you were saying is that person is, they're attracting a narcissist, and it's within their fingerprints. Not that they are a narcissist, but what about, are there some people where you could look at their hand and it shows that they're a narcissist coming into the planet?
Absolutely.
And so, so how does that work?
Perpetrators and victims and rescuers are all showing up all over the place. Right. And until I can show you the perpetrator rescuer trauma pattern, that's what it is, then you're not going to be able to break out of it. It's kind of running the show. So claiming a responsibility and having a growth spurt in your life or breakthrough in your life demands that you have a hard look at where you are feeling victimized or feeling a sense of obligation or feeling like the perpetrator or rescuer, and really have a hard look there. And when I show you where to look and I show you exactly what that pattern for you might be, it might be a distrust pattern, it might be a obligation struggle effort, like I'm constantly in place of obligation, can't get out of that. If I show you that you're constantly buried with stuff in a particular area, some people are buried with work, some people are in a power struggle nonstop in their relationship. And when I, and let's say you are in one of those, let's just say that a lot of people come because of the power struggles you know, or violation, you know, like they can't seem to set a healthy boundary and they just in a constant, just dichotomy. If they have to go into this new breakthrough of their life and they want to live out of their passion, but their partner doesn't like it, right? Now you're getting this kind of codependent type thing. So when that problem, when they see that they're in that struggle and they recognize, okay, yeah, absolutely. All they did is send their hand. And now I'm telling them the struggle of their life, and they didn't say anything other than, you know, what it is that they wanted to get out of the session. And when they recognize that and they see that in the fingerprint, then I show them, yo, you have power struggles. Then they go, wait, so if I have power struggles and my partner is constantly triggering me in this violent, angry episodes that cause us to have this argumentative style, and then I can show you that the relationship that you have actually is the problem you have with your anger, and you don't like it in him and you don't like it in yourself, and you do these things. Like, now I can show you how you act when you have that. Then you go, wow, how do you know me? I do exactly. Sometimes people act in a different way where they get aggressive, other people hide. Other people play an avoidance strategy, right? Based on the ego. That's based on the way the hand is shaped, your ego. So you have this soul wound that is forming the same problem. Seems like a karmic problem, right? It's a soul story, meaning that there is something in your life that you're here to learn from it, either way. And someday you will, someday you won't, right? And so that problem, when I see it and I can show you that was formed at 7 weeks, that shows up as a major impact to the person. Because then they go, okay, so what do I have? Like, is this like a cancer I got to live with for the rest of my life? I say, no, No, but you need to accept it first that you have this, right? And you're going to attract people like this, and that you can turn anybody and twist and turn and distort them. And by 6 months later, I could put, you know, if you're a man, Snow White in your life, you're going to be arguing 6 months later, right? So what, or if you feel like you don't belong, you're going to create a situation inevitably with your family at the family reunion where you just seem to be in a bad mood and you exclude yourself from it. And so get that the pattern that you seem to be seeing out there is your pattern, and you're distorting it, and it's creating this constant almost a cycle. It's a sick cycle of reinforcement, and you can't get out of this vicious cycle. It just keeps repeating. And when I show you the whole anatomy of the vicious cycle, you're going to go, oh my God. So you mean all I have to do is get off the Ferris wheel at this point? And I say, yes, at that point, yes. But first you have to understand the reason why you're on the Ferris wheel in this example. And I can tell you there's 1,000 things that we can talk about the hand. But while we're talking about power struggle, you're usually the case is they can't deal with anger any more than I like Brussels sprouts, and they can't handle it. And if they get angry, they get really nervous, and now they got nervous and anger. And then they just go into this upset, which means that what they're having is an amygdala hijacking episode where they feel like a victim to the energy. So when I can tell you how to connect to that anger or that episode and have you be with it in 4 hours, you're going to have triumph over it. It takes 4 hours for me to do those before after photos. I need 4 hours of your time to be able for you to basically deal with yourself and deal with your reaction. But when you can be with it, you're going to realize that you're doing it from a different angle. Like I'm not upsetting you. I'm moving you slowly into the anger, slowly. But we're friends and we're still in a safe environment, and we're having just a compassionate discussion, but we're moving deeper and deeper into the core of the pain that would normally freak you out. And when you can stand there in the fire that would normally freak you out, but it's a normal Tuesday and there's nothing around triggering you, and you're in a sedated state moving into that trigger with all of the evidence that has totally triggered you, and you're still standing there, what happens is that there's a new set of communication that is coming into the center of that nervous system that is now saying it's safe. And when you can stay there, then you're not going to avoid it. Now just get, this is a big breakthrough here, when you can get stand in the middle of your upset and have compassion. Because if that has been traditionally an upset for you for 35 years, and nobody is going to, you basically avoid every episode or every experience that would make you upset. Let's say power, leadership, closing a sale, going into areas where you have to negotiate, handling conflict. You might throw that whole baby out with the bathwater because you can't handle conflict or anger. And so when you connect into that and you can go right into the seat of that pain and stay there, and I show you exactly where to look, and we go right there, stand on that nerve. And then you realize, oh my God, I can survive. Then what happens to the person is that the baby comes back. All of the power that they had thrown away, they reclaim, because they were so afraid of anger that they couldn't actually be powerful. You know, some people are so afraid of, get so sensitive and speaking up, and they get real emotional about how they are going to be received, right? Stand in right in the middle of that. And I show you, it's a very strong technique of visualization. I'm not working with language. I'm working with imagery that trauma therapists use, that from the guys that came back from Afghanistan with 3 years of fighting with 4 hours of sleep, and in a Humvee, and they they no amount of talking about the problem helps. They're still triggered. And then they do this one technique around art therapy that shows the nature, but I have an advantage. I see your nervous system. I don't want you to just go into art therapy and in La La Land to try to figure out what you think is the problem. I can see it. I can see exactly how your nervous system is routing all the highways around that area instead of driving through. So you're in a spaghetti bowl of stuff instead of driving right through. And if I can show you that you'll survive if you finally just drive through, you're going to pop. And that's how I can take an Olympian who is finished with his career and Nike drops him to break him through into a new life where he is now Switzerland's top brand manager. And he's in a relationship and he's moved in. And that guy was an orphan and he couldn't have sustained a relationship any more than 3 months. And now he's married, right? So to get that, we're talking about a transformation of a traditional lifelong blockage. But you must be able to see in a compassionate way that that blockage is trying to protect you from a pain. And when you can swallow that pain and survive it, then you're going to realize that what Carl Jung called the shadow side, that shadow side starts to open up and it becomes the greatest source of your energy. And then if you've been operating, let's say on 50% of a blockage because you just avoid any type of conflict because of some incidences that were already traumatizing, kicking you on an area that was already sensitive since the time you were born, then you just decide, nope, I ain't going to go in that part of me. So you're operating on 50% of you, which means the whole channeling is just going into just 50%. And if I can show you, open that area up, it's going to be painful, it seems. But then when you, after 4 hours, you're going to be going, oh my God, this is amazing. And you love the people, when they go through this process, they feel like they found God. And for me, I'm mirroring the process. I'm like, wow, this was an amazing, right? Thank you, right? Because it's just, you just feel like, holy cow. Like the whole life is now open in a way that has never been. And I'm now moving into a new chapter.
So Tim, so this makes so much sense. It's so instead of it being, because we live on the planet of free will, right? And so you can choose to heal, you can choose not to heal. But you basically, I look at life like a game. We're here, it's the game of life. And so basically you're pointing out their challenges in the game and you're showing to them that everything is a mirror for them. And you're really just connecting the dots. And when you said they feel like they found God, I thought, well, they do, because they realize, you know, that they have the power and they realize who they really are, because at the end of the day, we are all a part of the divine, you know?
And yeah, so to their soul. So you can literally see, as you saw in those before and afters, it's like that their soul comes out.
Yeah.
And probably the most significant aspect of that is what happens to their life afterwards. Like you just see the pictures of them. Mm. But, and those are like before, after, within 3 days, right? But you're not seeing like this total creation that is now opening up for them after that. And that's really cool to see how these people like healed relationships with their mom when they haven't talked to them in years. And it's a good relationship. It's not like something temporary. And it's because they show up completely different. Let me show you something because it reminds me of the hero's journey. So the manifestation arm of this process is called the hero's journey. Why it's called the hero's journey? Because you create this big vision board, and then I say, be a hero, go do it, right? And I found a really good structure to execute it. Now, when you do the shift, right, here's a good example, right? So this woman is a Russian lawyer. She's pretty good at her job, and she's moving into life coaching. She likes that. Yeah, she saw me on Mindvalley. If you guys follow that, that's kind of a spiritual self-help a forum, and I had read the founder of Mind Valley Vision, and took him through the shift. And so she came to me and she was interested in this. So she was successful, right? And that she's very bright. Okay. When she shifts, she turns into mainly more feminine, and she connects to her feelings, which is ultimately what consciousness is. It's feelings. Otherwise, they're not doing a good job if you're not conscious of your feelings. So now she's connected to a much more feminine self. Now, which one is going to be more productive? Clearly, the one on the right, because she's looks like she's had a full day of sleep, right? So, but she's there, like that's happening now. That's her new self. And, but the problem is that her life still was created by the woman to the left. So when she shifts, she's got a problem. She's no, the life that fit like a glove with all of its problems over here to left no longer works for her. And she ends up creating a vision board, and it's only the woman to the right that I ask to make a vision board. The woman on the left doesn't do it. And when she does, and she goes and executes it, she becomes this woman. All right. So how did she go from that really kind of frowny face woman? I didn't ask her to frown. She just, that was her picture. And I guarantee you, I saw worse. Okay. So how do you go from this? How can you get more beautiful than that? Now look at her. The difference of picture B and C is that this woman has shifted, but her life has not. Now she has to work. She has to go in and talk to her mom, they have not talked for 3 years, and they live a mile apart. 3 years, because mom's so upsetting. And then let me show you the mom. Mom's not great either in terms of, she was a little bit bitter and criticizing, right? Now, I shifted the mom and I didn't do a thing. I didn't talk to her. But because I shifted her and she showed up, instead of being like this to her, creating the vicious cycle, she had a chip on her shoulder and so did she. And they were just in a Mexican standoff, constantly waiting for the next one to forgive or make a real apology for the way that they behaved, right? And now she shows up, but now she's coming into the mom as this woman, and she's saying, Mom, I get how I've created all the problems, and I see it now. I take full ownership. And so mom melts. She says, I have full ownership of the fact that I have this trigger, and you're not going to trigger me anymore. Look, I'm standing right here. Try it. I got it. I was responding to the fact that you told me that I was not beautiful enough for the men that I am dating. That's why I can't hold a relationship. And I blamed you for years, because while that was a 30-second comment, it was replayed in my head for 3 years. So that was very damaging, and nothing is more stressful than long-term stress. And that was stressful for her. She carried it, and that inflammation she released. Now, when she cleared that, that's how she became that woman. So that is the difference. So I called her and I wanted to ask if it was okay if I could show her shadow board, which is the art that I was telling you about. And if she can be with this craziness on the shadow board, then, which is all the things that she felt that we revealed in the hand reading. And she came up with this big, bitter story. And she could see how much she's been in it, 70 to 90% of the time. So the rest of the 30%, she was obviously living her vision. But the other 70, she was not. She was in this dumb problem. So I say, clear this up. Go and clean up all this nonsense. You got a dirty garage and you've got all these relationships that are in breakdown. Go restore it now that you see that you were the one that had that. Well, you know, first they would go, well, most people are thinking, well, what if I'm the victim? What if my father molested me? Yeah, clean that up. Still, because in the end, there is, I'm not condoning anybody's behavior here. Certainly not hers either. But forgiveness works in a different level of release and letting go and saying, you have a right to learn from your lessons, and I'm going to put you, I'm going to make sure you go into jail and get justice if that's the case. But you have a right to be forgiven. Every human being does. And when they get to that level, you're going to the seat of your soul and moving on in your chapter instead of holding on to the resentment. And so that's a big thing. And when people break through at that level, then when she talked to this woman that seemed impossible, she shifted her. And when I called her, they were beautiful. They were in love. And I was just lucky. I just called her and she happened to be over at the house. So that's how she got to this beautiful woman here. So that's an important part that I had to mention, because it's through the action of your shift that you end up becoming amazing. It's the action of it. It's the transformational insights that you have with action that cause you to take the responsibility, ownership, and ultimately have sovereignty over your life. That makes it a joy. And ultimately, my mission is to make my family and friends and my clients fall in love with themselves and enjoy their life journey. I think that's a great place for any person who is, any coach would wish that for everybody. And I think this technology that I'm about to show you and how it works, why it works, and the method that it works should be available to the world, not just me in Switzerland. I'm teaching, I'm training a whole new group of people to go out in Hawaii and in Seattle and Georgia. So I'm trying to get this out so that coaches can use this. And then when you do this, you'll realize in a second, you know your client's problem. In a second, it takes me 2 minutes to see. Once I know the theory, I can look at your hand and go, yeah, you have this Mrs. Not Enough thing. You have a self-esteem issue right here. Not that I would say that. I wouldn't say it that way, but I would see that. That would be what I'm having my internal dialogue. Okay.
Wow.
Questions about that?
I was just trying not to get emotional looking at her and her mom. That was so beautiful. And to me, that's everything. You help people free their soul. You help.
Yes, yeah.
That's what it is. It's so beautiful. Like nothing else matters more. Watching it, she didn't even look like the same woman. And then seeing her and her mom together, oh, that's such a gift.
Yeah, the weird thing, and I love the way that you language the soul, right? Because for most people, they don't go into that topic until it's like Sunday for 2 hours. Yeah. But the soul is in everything. Mm-hmm. The soul comes into your body, in theory, around 7 weeks. That's the theory. That's where I'm getting the 7 week thing from. And what I've learned, and I've never really discussed it at this level, but why not? This is my insight around doing this soul work. I mean, essentially, you're right. It's a soul work. Mm-hmm. Is that the soul gets trapped in certain experiences, traumatic events. It gets trapped there. And it's like trapped in the past, right? And so imagine you've got this soul that when it's out, if you've ever had like this feeling of samadhi or nirvana or holy cow breakthrough, your soul is out. It's like out to the world. And when you're in that place, it really feels like you can feel everything from 500 meters away. When I'm shifting people, that's the outcome, right? You just go, holy cow. So that feeling when your soul is out, is like your nervous, so all your emotions are feeling are now in the present, right? You're on earth. And most people don't think about that. The fact that you're on earth, and when you consider how much you enjoy being on earth, if you take a poll, I'd say that most people right now are not enjoying their time on Earth, at least half the time, which means they're a victim of a problem of that's making them feel like they have no power over it. So half the time they're shut down. You just see it in the train all the time, or buses or in the car, shut down, replaying the problem. Whatever problem it is, it's going to be the same type of theme that I'm seeing in their fingerprints. And if that's the case, then it seems like their soul gets trapped in a medley of all these different experiences. That's why you have that big shadow board. I'm showing you the window of all those. And I'm asking you, find 2030, right? And when you can see that, you can kind of get your soul back. You go into those pockets of trauma. And trauma, as you might know, is not just a singular checkbox. It exists in a network. So when you're having a bad day, it's usually you're connecting the dots around how everything else is bad, how your traffic is stopping you, everything's frustrating, your kids are crying too much, and all this, it just everything's on your nerves. It comes as a network. So if I can show you the whole network, and you can freak out about it all at once, but in a way that's gentle, right? Compassion. And you're just going, interesting. Yeah, I totally got upset there. And that's the same pattern here and there and there. And your mental mind can get it. Then what happens is you move into the imagery. And through the imagery, you start to feel what was going on there. And when you can see it all in one board and you can see it, it's like all the emotions and everything start to circulate. And then what happens is underneath that is where the soul is. And when the soul comes out, you can just go, you can really feel it. The whole room starts to shift and the whole room starts to open up like a can opener. It's just amazing. And you know, you just remember all how good life can feel. And now you're realizing, oh my God, I have not enjoyed being here on Earth. My soul's been somewhere else. I've been in my head 50% of the time, but not here. And while I'm not here, I was really seeing the impact of that, that I was 50% in my shadow and likely going to be that way for the next 20 years, 50%, which means 10 solid years. I'm still replaying the same dumb problem that I did 5 years ago. And so when I can show you that pattern that you're about to live it and you're going to live it, and you can then develop a relationship with it, then you can start to realize God seems to have made this pattern for you. It's something in your fingerprints. Your parents didn't plan it. And it is a soul pattern. And it's something that you're here to learn from. And it's not necessarily feel good. But I can tell you that I went through an experience. I died. There's another little bit to how I got into this process. I was a hand reader and I learned all about this wisdom. But nobody was shifting. They were just getting information. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And then I did this process called ayahuasca, which is, I'm sure many people have heard about it. It's a shamanic experience. No problem there. Then I did bufo, which is the snake. You take the venom of a frog. And because I've had such a phenomenal experience with the ayahuasca, and I was finding all these things, I forgave my grandfather. I was in this angelic place. I was going, this is so good. Everything's so good. And then he gave me bufo and I said, well, if this is so good, and he gave me the pipe, I did like this 1970s drag of it. Like I just did so much of it that I ended up, my heart stopped and I went into that place of surrender. And when I came back, ultimately through that process, I felt a beautiful acceptance for being on Earth. That process was really scary for me, obviously, because I was conscious of it during the whole process. And what I remember coming on the other side, as I was going to heaven on Earth, or heaven, or wherever that place was, that there was no contour, there was no contrast. It was nothing but bliss and beauty. And I missed not only my wife, but I missed the pain that I was going through having a child. And certainly that was painful, being a parent for the first time, my screaming kid all the time. And I missed doing the taxes. I missed that problem. So these problems that we've got, you're gonna miss a lot when you let go. So love them. And these problems are something that your soul seems to have come on earth to try to also learn from. And if I just gave you like the keys to the kingdom and said, have heaven immediately, you're not gonna feel anything. And so it's important that just like when you learn the bowl and you got to learn the gutters on both sides, your soul needs to feel these experiences and have these experiences so it understands the virtue of love and happiness and joy in your life. And you must go through them. If you avoid them, you're postponing your problem and you're going to still have it 35 years later. So if you can see the lesson and go into the pain now, and you can see it and go, I got it, and stay in that virtue, you're going to break through. So that was a little woo-woo, I get it, but I have to show you that it's an incredible process when you've seen both sides and you realize that you're on a journey in this lifetime. It's a soul journey. And just like, you know, if you've read Hermann Hesse's book, Siddhartha, he comes out of the castle. He's, you know, it's his path to be a Buddha. And he's like coming out and he's like, he's 18 years old. And he's like, this is it. He's had everything fed to him. Everything's gone his way. It's all been perfect, but he's not living. So he goes out and he says, oh, you know, people have to work for a living and they're trading. And he's like, well, I'm now homeless and I got to deal with the problem of being a merchant. But he's alive with that problem. And then he does that for a while and go, well, that's not it. And then he goes off to go into spirituality. But he goes, I don't want to, you know, look at my belly button for 4 years, you know. So he does meditation. He goes, let's that go. And then he goes on to be maybe a family person. And then at the very end of the book, Siddhartha finds happiness. He's just a ferryman. And he's just taking people across the river. That's it. And for a quarter and a deep conversation, that's all he does, right? Just to go across that river. Now, if you had taken Siddhartha when he came out of that castle, and you can say the same thing when you graduated from college, you just take that and go, here it is. Just stay. We got this life. It's all perfect for you. Stay in the castle. But he wasn't alive there. And if I said at the end of the I've read the last part of your life, and all you need to do to a guy who is a prince is just tell him, hey, you know, you just got to be a ferryman, you'll be fine. Then he wouldn't believe you. He has to go through this egoistic journey to earn that place, finally, to find that joy. And the experiences that you're going through, the problems that you're going through, are the same things that he's going through. That you're meant to have them. And I can show you, you are meant to have these problems. If I can show you your hands, I can show you these problems you are meant to have. So deal with them, love them, with joy, embrace them and grow up through them. Don't postpone it, grow up. If you're afraid of finances and you're afraid of taking responsibility and you're constantly irresponsible, chasing, you know, the taxes and all of that, what you're not getting is that there's a whole group of people that really love that. And you might say, well, I'll just give that to those people. No, grow up here. Get the fact that the reason why they love it is that they feel a sense of clarity with money and their life functions with that security. And they rush in to pay their taxes sooner than later because they like to have that clarity and they feel a sense of integrity and honor in themselves. And when they get to that feeling every time, they're like, wow, that was a good day. And after 4 hours of doing it, they're done. But what are you doing? You're spending 3 months, 4 months procrastinating the dumb problem instead of going in and seeing that there's this beautiful carrot. And you know only the problem of the procrastination, but you don't know the carrot. Go into the carrot. Do it this week and stay and hold that carrot. And I can tell you, whatever there is, the wound, there is the carrot. Hold the carrot and you're going to be happy. And you can stay in that happiness for the rest of your life. or you can continue this dumb story that you're in avoidance. So this is how I'm giving you a little bit of the psychology of how these type of shifts are working.
That is such a great perspective to miss the pain. Like when you said that you died, do you even call it that? Like that just feels like such a wrong word. 'Cause I feel like when you go to the other side, you kind of wake up, but I get what you're saying. Your heart stopped and you had that experience on the other side. And you miss the pain because you here we're alive. It's so fascinating to think of missing taxes. And of course your wife, that made sense, you know, but missing the mayhem or the ups, the downs, the contrast, right? Missing
the
that
contrast, yeah.
When you said that it's always going to be there waiting for you. If you push it forward 35 years, there's definitely people that go through this life and they never face it. So then what? Then what? What do you think? If they come into life, they spin in their victimhood and then they pass, then what? It's waiting for them again in the next lifetime.
Right. So I just got back from Germany about 3 weeks ago. They are a Hindustani spiritual organization invited me. They have 3,000 people in this thing called Just Love Festival. And they have a guru, right? The guru is there to, you know, usher their souls into the higher place. And they read the Bhagavad Gita and all that. I am not a follower, though I think the Bhagavad Gita, having I started reading it and I was like, holy cow, this is amazing. It's a really good philosophy of love. But that said, those people have read now, I guess, 200 people within that organization because they love this life pattern. It shows a karmic journey that you seem to be on in the fingerprints. And what they would say to that, being in the know on that side, as well as about 1,000 hypnotherapists that are out in the world that do that type of work of the in-between, you know, going in and seeing the regression of certain memories. And then at some point they get to the other side into another set of life memories. So what has been broadcast from both those camps is that there is a soul journey that if you don't learn it and you don't find the virtue, then you're just going to repeat it again and again and again. And for that particular organization, we're talking in the hundreds, if not thousand times, that you're going to go through in different forms and choose different egos until you figure it out. And so I think that's interesting. I don't have any experience about it. I mean, every time that I go into this topic around fingerprints and somebody who has done past life regression stuff, they're like, yes, you're right. I absolutely did die in a previous life from a violent death. And that's what it feels like. You know, if you have a compression on your index, it feels like, wow, my safety is at stake here. And so especially in anger, right? That would be in staying with that example. So they come up with these images that seem to match that perfectly from the previous life. I get that, I mean, at least two or three times a month that the previous life, those people have to know, it seems to match perfectly the problem that they have that I'm showing them in the fingerprints today.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, so why don't I give you the frame of this? Maybe you can even break this into two parts. I don't know, we seem to be talking a lot. And we look at some basics about how the hand shows your map. And then once we do that, we can see how that might have, what that has anything to do with Jennifer, right? So to get this, we're going to go sequentially into the way that what her soul looks like. And then there's actually a way that your soul looks. There's actually an architecture to your soul. And why that we're reading the fingerprints is because the soul comes at the same time the fingerprints are formed. So it's kind of like looking at in this process, the soul, and then we're going to look at how the brain was formed, like the head line, the heart line, the lifeline, like your three types of brains that you have. And I can show you how you think, how you are with your body, how you are emotionally. And then I'll show you who you decide, who you grew up to be, what are some of the talents. And then we can even look at some gift markers that you might have. And when you put those three areas together, you can see, wow, you're on a soul path. If you organize people all with the same fingerprints, you're organizing them by soul, right? So you're kind of playing God there. You can see all the people with waves, those are all loving people. All the people with a bunch of circles are all heavy hitters, wanting to be of service and contribution like you, service to humanity. And other people with other fingerprints want to be just understanding, a life of understanding. And so when you see that, you can see that there's a journey, and then you can see how your ego is, and then you can see the strength of who you are and celebrate that and see what is it your gift, and don't do anything but just live that gift and honor it. Honor the way God has made you and the choices that you've made. And then I'll show you your blind spot, what's holding you back, and what would be an area that you seem to be epigenetically repressed, meaning that epigenetics is the area of the fingerprints. And epigenetics means that it's not genetics, it's not just biologically encoded, it's encoded through the experiences of your grandmother. And if we can get that you're on that problem, it's a biological problem. And if you're following the past life thing, you would say, I chose that family with that problem. It's so because it's my problem. So you go into that and you can see that there's a path to break through that. And you seem to be at the front end of the future of about a million years of evolution. And you can get present to the problem that your grandmother had. And you can be finally the person that ends that transgenerational trauma to break through, or not. So I have people that are 70 years old that are coming to me, and they're shifting so they can enjoy the last chapter of their life. Pretty amazing. Wow. So to answer the question, there's a lot of people out there that I say, this is my assessment, that they're only living 50%. They're not living the other. They're just surviving. You just ask them what they did Monday through Friday, and they don't even remember. You know, they had an incident that was fulfilling, right? So that just means that they're just on autopilot, and they can do that for years. And so that makes life very predictable and dull. And then you can die as your energy starts to, you know, crumble.
Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.